listening to the WGXC Akron 90.7 on your FM dial. And WGXC.org on your smartphone or computer.
You're listening to Radio Wonderland, live on WGXC, radio made from radio.
Tops, bottoms. Tune in Joshua Free's Radio Wonderland, Saturdays at 10:30 a.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM for a live remix of New York City Morning Radio on WGXC, Creative Community Radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday morning.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service daily newscast for Tuesday, September the 18th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Kavanaugh now expected to meet his accuser at an open hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee on Monday. Also on the Tuesday rundown, an Albany rally calls for 1 million solar households and Get Caught Reading, a week-long campaign for readers of all ages. Now our top story, CNBC reports Senate Judiciary Committee will hold a public hearing on September the 24th, that's Monday, at which Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and a woman who alleges that he has sexually assaulted her will have the opportunity to testify under oath about the events in question. CNBC quotes Judiciary Committee Chair Chuck Grassley saying, "Anyone who comes forward, as Dr. Ford has done, deserves to be heard. We will hold a public hearing Monday to give these recent allegations a full hearing." Environmental groups are calling on the state of New York to support a major push for more solar power, including for low-income households. More on the story from Andrea Sears.
The Million Solar Strong campaign is rallying in the state capital today to say rapidly expanding solar power will create thousands of jobs, help low-income families save millions of dollars on their electric bills, and help reach the target set by New York's Clean Energy Standard. According to Aaron Landy with the Alliance for Clean Energy New York, the campaign believes their goal can be achieved in the next 5 years.
Our goal is to get the 1 million households by 2023, and that would really be a huge step towards getting to 50% renewable energy in 2030.
She says there are currently 200,000 solar-powered homes in New York State.
The Million Strong Solar Campaign has created a policy roadmap it says would help reach the goal of a million solar-powered homes by the year 2023. And a group of global leaders, including some Indiana mayors, are launching a new effort in their fight to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
At a global climate action summit in San Francisco last week, the Climate Mayors Group announced its electric vehicle collaborative, which will provide cities equal access to competitive pricing and charging infrastructure for electric vehicles. Carmel Mayor Jim Brainerd, who spoke at the event, says a move away from carbon-based fuels would have tremendous health impacts by reducing air pollution.
There's so many new cases of asthma and other lung-related diseases. We need to do everything we can to make our air quality as good as possible. We have to focus on a quality of life, and not having a clean environment to live in is going to put us in economic disadvantage as well.
The Climate Mayors Group includes mayors from Bloomington, Fort Wayne, Gary, South Bend, and West Lafayette, who have pledged to uphold America's commitment to the Paris Climate Agreement. Mary Sherman reporting.
Word now is that Congress may not be able to finish the farm bill by the end of the month when the old one expires. One deadlock is a controversial plan to cut access to SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Food banks estimate the House proposal would mean SNAP would provide 9 billion fewer meals over 10 years. Kate Leone with Feeding America says the House proposal includes more job training and government commodities for pantries, but she says it's not enough.
For every one meal that our network of food banks provides, SNAP provides 12. That gap that will be created is something that we just simply can't make up.
President Donald Trump has tweeted he prefers the work rules. Colorado's community health centers not only provide top-notch care, they also are boosting state and local economies.
A report released today quantifies direct contributions such as payroll and goods and services purchased from local businesses, as well as the economic ripple effects of those expenditures. Ross Brooks is the CEO of Mountain Family Health Center, serving the I-70 Mountain Corridor and the Roaring Fork Valley.
There are 20 community health centers that serve as the healthcare home for close to 750,000 people. Those community health centers generate $1.2 billion in economic activity every year.
Building and remodeling projects at the health centers attract investment and other businesses to local communities, and the report also found that centers help attract and retain more residents. The centers contributed $177 million in total local, state, and federal tax revenue and brought $114 million in federal grants to Colorado. I'm Eric Galatis.
In 2016, the health centers delivered comprehensive primary care to more than 1 in 8 Coloradans. And finally, Stephanie Carson tells us this week, take a picture of yourself reading. That's the ask for the Tennessee Governor's Books from Birth Foundation.
This week is Tennessee's Imagination Library Week, celebrating a program first piloted by Dolly Parton almost 30 years ago. Now with programs in 49 states and several countries, the campaign to send children from birth to age 5 a new book once a month is changing lives, according to Dean Hoskins with the foundation.
Just by the virtue of having books in the home, children are more likely to succeed, not just as they enter kindergarten, but at third grade reading levels. But also, we have seen that parents do engage around books with their children when they are in the home.
Neighboring North Carolina just confirmed funding for a program modeled after Tennessee. This week, as part of the campaign, the state is encouraging people to take a picture of themselves reading and post it on social media with the hashtag #GetCaughtReading.
More than 1 million children have participated in the program. A state study in 2014 found increased school testing scores for children who received the free books, which are available to all, regardless of income. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts rain. The remnants of Hurricane Florence are over top of our region. There's a flash flood watch in effect until 2 a.m. Wednesday morning, as the rain could be heavy at times. There could be a thunderstorm mixed in. 1 to 2 inches of rain is possible on Tuesday. A little more rain Tuesday night, mainly before 7 p.m. with a low around 60. Then Wednesday should be mostly sunny with a high near 71 and a low around 51. Thursday, there's a slight chance of rain again, a 20% chance. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high near 66 and a low around 59. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
Next, we have these reports.
This is Holly Tanner, along with my wonderful co-host, Justin Weaver. And we're saying hello to Christine Abitabel and Andy
Baker.
Andy Baker, welcome. And you guys are here to talk to us about the Day of Hope. So
where did this come from?
Day of Hope.
How did this start?
This stemmed back to my very first days at Price Chopper, actually.
I remember you working at the customer service counter?
Yes.
The one in Greenport?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Years ago.
Okay. Years ago.
Yes. Started as a small little bake sale out on the sidewalk. And
so let's say the Day of Hope is a making strides against breast cancer. So it's to help victims of breast cancer, right? It's a fundraiser. So you started out with a bake sale, and now you've turned it into this big gala.
Now it's turned into something that I couldn't handle anymore, so I now have a committee.
Yay!
Thank goodness.
And you picked a great person for the committee. She's an expert at all things event-related, Miss Christine is.
Why, thank you.
Yes.
Of Flag Day fame.
Yay. We should tell people, first and foremost, that this is happening. This is the 8th annual. This is the 8th annual.
Great.
And it's happening on Saturday, October 6th at Greenport Town Park from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. And you guys have a million different people offering up things for raffles and different vendors, and you have local talent. Why don't you guys tackle that and tell us?
Yeah, what's going on?
What kind of things can we bid on?
And
what
is this rain or shine?
It is rain or shine.
Very good.
Let's
okay.
hope not for rain.
Well, we'll pray for no rain, but you know the weather these days has been.
I just want to preface this with the days of the parking lot bake sale. And the few events that were going on a small scale started to grow. And we actually outgrew the space. I shouldn't say we, because I wasn't part of the committee at that point.
Yeah.
But
there was no committee until
was
this
no
year.
And then
committee of one, right?
Yes.
When Price Chopper decided that it wasn't best for us to continue to use the parking lot, we had to reach out for another spot. So Andy secured the Greenport Town Park with much assistance from Barbara.
Thanks to Barbara Grohl. Right. Yes.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, we love Barbara.
Yes, we love Barbara.
She's just a
shout
helper.
Out.
I love you, Barbara.
And after the event and all the work and the vendors, Andy said, this is just so much energy,
right.
You know. And I don't know whether or not I can do this. And we're going, oh, my goodness, this was like the best one ever. It has to get
you
better
can't stop
than
now.
This. You can't stop now.
You have to put it into perspective, because 3 years ago, we started the vendors.
Right.
3 years ago, it was in the Chatham Price Chopper parking lot.
Oh, wow.
We had 11 vendors.
Wow.
Last year, we moved it to the Greenport Town Park and had 29.
Wow.
And how many do you have this year?
52.
Oh, my Lord.
And I've been checking in with your Facebook page,
yes.
And I know you've put a stop to vendors because you had so many, but you keep on moving that date that people have until they get their
impressive.
Their raffles in.
The
so how many people do you expect to see?
Hopefully several hundred.
Hundreds and,
yes.
hundreds and hundreds
and hundreds.
I have to ask before we get into all of the vendors and everything, was this a personal mission for you?
Yes.
Can you address it?
My
we
best,
love it if you can cry
best,
on air, but okay.
My best friend, Corinne Lasher, started the bake sales back when I was in Price Chopper. She's a breast cancer survivor.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I started it with her, and then when I moved from the Hudson Price Chopper to Catskill, I took it on my own. I started a big event in the parking lot, and then it just
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah. Because
so,
we all have somebody in our lives who's been impacted
by cancer.
Cancer in general, but
that's
also specifically breast cancer. I can think of five people right off the top of my head, which is horrible.
Well, and the event means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, and we should give credit to where credit is due. Wonderful. Because these are your words and your acknowledgments, in addition to Christine for convincing you to keep this going, because you were tired, you wanted to take a break, you were thinking about doing that.
Absolutely.
But Christine stepped up along with Samantha McCarthy, Sarah Novak, Dan Gregory, Michelle Miller, Deb Stein, Terry Osterhout, Jacqueline Kappmeyer Vogel, Rebecca Elliott Clark, and Andrea P. Pratt. Mm-hmm. And you named those people yourself, so I figured we would shout them out on the air as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
They are all a big help this year.
Yes. When they found out that Andy was considering maybe not doing the event this year, they said, no, this can't happen. And
well, it takes a village. Awesome. I have goosebumps. So I don't know.
It
does. And after
it can.
After last year's event,
he won't answer the phone.
I believe I created a monster after last year's event. And then we look at this year's
monster.
And it's even bigger.
Yeah, a good monster.
Really. And of course, I'm there courtesy of my husband's donation of fried dough.
Fried dough. Well, that's going to bring people just that alone.
We will have fried dough.
Get there early.
I was just talking about weight issues with a friend earlier. And like, and I said, well, you know, it was the fair. And I did partake several times of the fabulous Antonio's fried dough at the fair, you know, at least
three
times.
Out, so there's no
that's
calories.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. That's good to know.
That's good.
It's a secret recipe.
It's delicious.
Just remember, get there early because it does sell out.
I bet
quick.
You it sells out fast.
It's, it's hard to make that much dough and not have an Isle of Lucy adventure with all of it puffing out of the cooler. You know?
And it's good when you make that much dough and you make that much dough as a result.
Yes.
Speaking of making that much dough, this is a great segue, Justin. Thank you. How much dough are you looking to raise? Do you have a goal?
My goal for this year is 6,000.
And what'd you do last year?
5.
Okay. So have you been seeing a steady increase
every
each year?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And the vendors have been a tremendous attribute to that.
You've almost doubled your vendors, so that's there is impressive.
And everyone donates, well, not only the raffle items, but like the fried dough is donated. So even though people are paying for the fried dough, all of that money goes to cancer.
Well, I was going to ask, where exactly is the money going? I mean, it's going to cancer research, cancer awareness, but do you have a specific organization? Do you give it to?
It goes to the American Cancer Society and the Making Strides efforts.
100%.
100%.
Of all, wow.
I take the money with me up to the Making Strides
walk
in Albany.
Is it too late to make a donation?
Absolutely not.
Because your county clerk would like to make a
donation. Oh, Holly Tanner is always good for opening her pocketbook.
Well,
I'm good for opening my mouth, but she's good for she's the pocketbook.
No, I would love to make a donation my dear Lisa Keneally, who works for me, and she's a survivor as well.
Right.
So
yes.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm going to make a donation for her.
Thank you very much,
Holly. We do want to do whatever we can to stop this dreadful disease, because cancer just sucks. I can say that word in the air, right? Sucks.
Well, we did, and we're going to face.
And you know, not only does Christine and Phil donate the fried dough, but we also have Otto Meyer, the owner of O's Eatery, that donates all the hamburgers and hot dogs and comes to the event and cooks them.
Wow, fabulous.
So we have hot dogs, hamburgers, fried dough. What else?
Sausage and peppers.
Sausage and peppers.
I'm clearing my schedule we speak
to
make sure I can show up.
And a bake sale.
There's a
bake sale.
So all sorts of food, all sorts of vendors and raffles, and face painting.
Face painting.
So bring the kids.
Lisa Wood, right? Is Lisa doing it?
No, face painting by Crystal.
By Crystal, okay.
Yes.
Do we want to run down the list of vendors so people, you know, can
feel? How about an idea? Yeah.
Or just
there's how many of them?
Pick out a few, maybe.
I do want to emphasize, it is very important. Yes. Women, don't skip your mammogram appointment. And actually, it's law that if you're working, if you're not retired or a homemaker, if you are employed, your employer, there might be limits about the number of employees, but I know I have to. If my employee has a mammogram, we don't charge time. You don't have to charge time, like sick time, to go get your mammogram. That was a state law that was signed several years ago. So it is important. And actually, I'm just thinking of another employee that I lost because she did not get a mammogram. And Enid.
Well,
may she rest in peace.
That's right. Yeah. So this is
really
a message
important,
for everybody listening. Just
although men can get breast cancer.
Yes, and that's in here as well. Let's see. About 2,550 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed in men in 2018. A man's lifetime risk of breast cancer is about 1 in 1,000.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So what's the website? I see there's a website listed here, dayofhopehudson.simplesite.com. Is that where we can go to learn more about your event? Or
the best place to go to learn more about the event is actually the event page on Facebook.
Facebook is fabulous.
That is updated every day with all the raffle items, all the vendors, anything
Very
you need
good.
To know.
Is there a charge for parking?
Very good.
Well, that is awesome that you guys are continuing this, and I hope it continues to grow, and hopefully you surpass your goal of 6,000 this year.
I'm pretty sure we will. We're already at 3,000, so we're going to keep pushing.
Awesome. How much more time do we have left?
That's very good. We're down to our last 40 seconds, so we're going to say thank you guys
for
coming in.
Andy Baker, Christine Abitabel.
Happy birthday, Justin.
Thank you very much.
Everyone to check out the Day of Hope, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer fundraiser on Saturday, October 6th from 10 to 4 at the Greenport Town Park.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Chuck Schumer, New York's senior senator, was on the Senate floor on Monday, September 17th, demanding a delay in the vote on possible Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
Over the past few days, new allegations have come to light about President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. These allegations ought to be treated with the utmost gravity. The allegations are extremely credible. They were made by someone who voluntarily submitted to a lie detector test and had been discussed in the past, long before Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court, with a family therapist. I believe her. Many, many, many Americans believe her. Many, many women in America who have been taken advantage of certainly believe her. For too long, women have made serious allegations of abuse and have been ignored or dragged through the mud. It would be a disgrace if this body and our fellow Republicans let that happen. Chairman Grassley must postpone the vote on Judge Kavanaugh's nomination until, at a very minimum, these serious and credible allegations are thoroughly investigated.
Schumer got his wish, as there will be hearings next Monday to hear both sides of the attempted rape charge against Kavanaugh, with hearings in the Senate next Monday, September 24th.
Environmental groups are calling on the state of New York to support a major push for more solar power, including for low-income households. The Million Solar Strong campaign is rallying in the state capitol today to say rapidly expanding solar power will create thousands of jobs, help low-income families save millions of dollars on their electric bills, and help reach the target set by New York's clean energy standard. According to Aaron Landy with the Alliance for Clean Energy New York, the campaign believes their goal can be achieved in the next 5 years.
Our goal is to get the 1 million households by 2023, and that would really be a huge step towards getting to 50% renewable energy in 2030.
She says there are currently 200,000 solar-powered homes in New York State. The campaign wants to see New York provide incentives such as energy cost savings and direct support of solar to overcome cost barriers. And Landy points out creating shared resources will be key to helping everyone reap the benefits of solar power.
Community solar is definitely a very important aspect because it would bring access to lower income New Yorkers who wouldn't necessarily be able to afford to have solar on their own homes.
The Million Solar Strong campaign has created a policy roadmap it says would help reach the goal of 1 million solar-powered homes by 2023. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
Oh, this is always a good time. You know, this always is the time to stop and remind you that if you're listening and you like us and you support the station in general, why don't you become a sustaining listener supporter? It's not hard. You go to the website, wgxc.org or .org, and there's a slash, and then it says donate. And you go there, and what you find is the way to become a sustaining supporter. And what that means is every month, GXC, the kind folks here at GXC, will alert you to the fact that you are money is being taken from your credit card. Not a lot. Whatever you ask, whatever you say you were willing to give, be it $5, be it $100, it's there. They let you know, and you then you don't even have to worry about it. They'll ask you if you want to give that month, and you do, and you don't even know it's gone. You know, it's like it's so much harder. If I had $5 in my pocket and someone said, "Please give me that for the WGXC," I'd say, "Hey, I need it for my coffee, my whatever." But if you're never even saw it and it's online and it's your credit card, you don't even think about it.
Tune in special programming this week on WGXC 90.7 FM. On Tuesday at 7 a.m. on All Together Now, tune in Andrew Baker and Christine Abitabli discussing the upcoming Day of Hope happening October 6th at Greenport Town Park. 7 p.m., there's an extra web stream of the Hudson Common Council meeting, wgxc.org. Click on Listen Now to scroll down and find the extra web stream of the Hudson Common Council meeting, 7 p.m. Tuesday on the radio. And on the FM signal at 7 p.m., Lillian Hornhorst, the final show from Lily Konigsberg and Matthew Norman at 7 p.m. at Tuesday. Wednesday at 7 a.m. on All Together Now, hear an interview with State Assembly Member Chris Tague from the 102nd Assembly District. 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show, Jonathan Lerner discusses Hudson's housing crisis and rezoning. 6:30 p.m., there's an extra web stream of the Town of Catskill meeting. Then tune in late Wednesday night, early Thursday at midnight for a radio stew with Eric Miller and Patrick Quinn. Their Lemon explores the dimensions of liminality, or a passing through the threshold between distinct phases, afforded through the use of electromagnets. Also Thursday at 8 p.m., there's an extra web stream with theremin player Pamelia Stickney performing with Catskill's Brian Dewan at High Low in Catskill. Click on Listen Now on any WGXC webpage to pick up the extra web stream from the two performers. Friday at 7 p.m., tune in guest DJ Ian McGuire on WGXC 90.7 FM.
This right here, this is one of my favorite events that Hudson does every year. It's going to be at the MC Smith Elementary School building. You should already know what it is if you're from Hudson. Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. Yes, this year. Dads, take your child to school day. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get out. The event begins at 7 a.m. in the cafeteria with a light breakfast and refreshments. Last year, over 300 participants.
Yeah.
Let's make it even bigger this year. If you know a child, if you got a child, if you mentor a child, make sure you show up, show your presence, dads. Get out there and make sure you bring your behind to the MC Smith Elementary School right. building Tuesday, September 18th, 2018.
No moms allowed.
We want to see all the dads pull up, yep. mm-hmm. show your support for our kids. The kids are our future. Make sure you're there. I can't stress that enough.
Dads, uncles, cousins.
Uncles, cousins, brothers.
I talked to Todd. Shout out to Todd Smith. He said the boxers are willing to mentor. And
that's
I
beautiful.
Mean, that I talked to Birdie. I talked to everybody. No moms allowed. No disrespect to the moms. But
and shout out to all the men who come every year and make sure they show their love and show their support for these kids, because these kids need to see that these men are stepping up and that they have mentors in the community that want to see them succeed and that are there to support them when they need them.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be there, man. So just make sure if you guys are looking for someone, if you have a child that you might not have a male role model, reach out, because, like I said, no moms allowed. Please, no moms. Please, none. We can do this. Mm-hmm.
We got to show up and show out.
Give us a chance.
You got to show up and show
but
out.
I got to tell y'all something, man. Y'all ready for this?
I'm ready.
So, Javen, the little radio guy, 530 Freestyle.
530 Freestyle.
Young man.
Oh, yeah. So, since they changed the schooling, now that second grade is up top.
That's right.
This is the first year that mm-hmm. I get to bring Javen.
Nice.
There you go.
So,
that's going to be a major vibe.
That's going to be really nice.
We got shirts.
I was about to ask you too.
Yo, they dope though.
Oh boy.
All I'm gonna tell y'all right now,
that's
man,
a vibe.
When y'all see us coming, y'all gonna see us coming. That's mark my words. I'm telling you.
I'm a little disappointed in myself because I haven't even checked to see if we have it in Catskill. And if they don't, I think I should start it.
I got a link for you. All right. So you can talk
to you. I think if we don't have it, I think we should start it.
Absolutely. I'm going to talk to Kyle Lyles. I was over in Catskill at an event. Mm-hmm. Talked to Kyle Lyles. Great guy.
Yes, he is.
That's somebody that I want. Yeah. I told him that I want him to meet you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, September the 18th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Kavanaugh now expected to meet his accuser at an open hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee on Monday. Also on the Tuesday.
WGXC
90.7
FM
Accra.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Woo! That was awesome.
WGXC believes in hands-on, two-way radio. We provide public access to the airwaves, giving individuals and organizations the means to tell their own stories. WGXC listeners make radio, participate in on-air conversations, record public meetings for broadcast, contribute content, host their own shows, and more. The G and the C stand for Green and Columbia Counties in New York. WGXC is listener-supported, and we serve 78,000 potential local listeners in the Upper Hudson Valley, in addition to listeners from across the globe online. Our programs can be surprising while wholesome, are very often experimental, and almost always entertaining. Program applications are accepted year-round, and no prior radio experience is required.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Next, we have these reports.
Jamaica Miles is a lead organizer with Citizen Action. Her organization mobilized thousands of voters across New York State to head to the polls last Thursday and played a key role in advancing progressive candidates. She joins us, not on the studio, but on the phone tonight to talk about last Thursday's primary election and what the results tell us about the coming midterm general election in November. Welcome, Jamaica.
Thank you for having me.
Well, glad to hear your voice. So last Thursday, New York held the last of the nation's primary elections before the general on November 6th. And while the governor held his own with a strong showing over Cynthia Nixon, the results of other races were really pretty dramatic. Can you give us a rundown of what voters did at the polls last week?
Absolutely. Last Thursday, voters went out across New York State and they said, you know what, you can't just tell us anymore that you're a progressive. You really need to show us, and we are demanding that there is a racial and economic justice for all of us, and that you are really proving that when you're in office.
So, and that was reflected in turnout also, wasn't it? I mean, in some places, it's more than triple what it's been in previous years.
I think that's true. The other piece being that people were coming out specifically about issues, right? This campaign, we saw that people were calling for a legalization of marijuana. They were stepping up and saying, we need to fully fund our public schools. We want Medicare for all. Like, these were issues that we've seen in the legislature for year after year, and people were coming out as you said, 2-3 times as many as we typically would see, and that their voices need to be heard.
Now, some of those issues that you mentioned, they are big players in the Democratic primaries, but how do you think they'll translate to the general election?
I think that in the general election, what we're going to see is that all of those individuals, whether it's independent party members or those third party members, are going to come out and have their voices heard. A Democratic primary or Republican primary means that only Dems and Republicans are voting in those primaries, but it doesn't mean those issues are not translating to those communities, and they're going to come out with those same issues.
Mm-hmm. And some of the players, I'm completely blanking on her name, but down in the Bronx, the upset primary, she became a national figure. What is her name?
Well, so there were like a whole bunch of races, right? Because remember, we had the independent Democratic caucus that was, you know, caucusing with Republicans, and all of those IDC members were primary, and many of them lost their seats.
Right.
And they lost their seats to grassroots community individuals that were fighting for justice, like Robert Jackson in Senate District 31, who was someone who initiated the Campaign for Fiscal Equity lawsuit demanding that all children receive a quality education. That's what people want to see. And Alessandra Biaggi, who took Klein out of office.
Mm-hmm.
What people are looking for, they said, you know what, you can't just sit in office anymore and tell us that you're going to do it. We want people that have a history of showing they really care about our communities.
So how do you think that turnout translated in the AG's race? I think a lot of people were thinking that Zephyr Teachout was the most progressive candidate there. But she obviously didn't win.
Zephyr, based on the numbers, had a similar turnout to when she ran against Cuomo, right? She did well in upstate, but not in New York City, not in other places. And people came out for Tish and said, you know, this is who we want to see, but not without Zephyr still getting a significant amount of votes. It's not as if there was no contest there. And it was that competition in a primary to say, you know, we really are paying close attention and we want to make sure that we're electing progressives.
Mm-hmm. So your organization, Citizen Action, which in full disclosure, I've worked with you guys in the past with the share issue and other mm-hmm. anti-fracking things. But it was very active during leading up to the primary. What specifically did your organization do and what did you learn in the process?
Sure. We were knocking doors. We were making phone calls. And by we, we're really talking about a volunteer base. There were people calling us and asking us, how can we get involved? We want to help to make this happen. The amount of times that, you know, individuals were asking, saying, hey, when is Cynthia Arjumani coming back to Upstate? So they weren't here just one or two times. And then being able to convey that information through my connections with the campaign and letting them know they want to hear from them again. They want to hear that message and relaying that information. But mostly it was volunteers. It really was.
Hello, my name is Maya Sanders. I'm also here in the studio. And
hey, Maya.
Hello. Nice to hear your voice once again. Can you talk about some of the key races to watch in New York in November and the impact they could have on issues with the state legislator in 2019?
So I would say that if we're looking at November, we're looking at the Antonio Delgado Faso race down in CD19, right? We're watching a number of congressional races, but as it relates to the Capital District, Antonio Delgado is the candidate that Citizen Action of New York has endorsed. And we're working to make sure he beats John Faso, someone who has time and time again said that he's not concerned about whether or not people can afford their medication. He's not there for those individuals that are struggling every single day, but really us putting our energy and focus into Antonio Delgado and looking to flip what our Congress looks like for the next year.
Well, also, as it turns out, the Senate District 43 was previously represented by Republican Kathy Maricone, and the 107th Assembly District was represented by Steve McLaughlin, and now Jake Ashby, who won in April in the special election. So what can you tell us about those races, and will Citizen Action be involved in the Get Out the Vote efforts?
So I definitely want to talk about Assembly District 107. That is Cecilia Hoetling. She won her Democratic primary. Super excited. She also is a candidate that Citizen Action of New York endorsed for the primary because we believed in her early on and really excited that she won that primary. And now it's getting her through November and beating Jake and showing that Democrats and individuals that really care about all people, that they care about in New York for all of us, are those that we're going to see in office.
And let's move on to some of the some national issues and how those translate in the New York races. This is obviously a very broad question, but what kind of influence do you think that President Trump and the various allegations against him have played in the races so far?
Well, there's something we call the Cynthia effect, right, here in New York, that we all pushed Cuomo to the left. I think that we also saw the Trump effect when he was first elected. Large number of people registered as Democrats after his election here in New York State, as well as across the country. And the allegations don't stop. I swear that every single time I open Facebook or Twitter, there's some other craziness either against Trump or someone he has nominated to be leading this country in some way. And people are not okay with it. And I do believe that's what we're going to see at the polls nationwide. People coming out to vote, as well as people coming out to volunteer to ensure that we beat every single one of those districts and the big money that they have in politics, because that's what we're fighting. We are fighting against big money in politics every single day. Tens of millions of dollars that candidates are putting out there for either smear campaigns or to put their faces on billboards, and using that money to tip the scales instead of running really on the issues and the things that really matter to people. But this people power, I believe, is going to continue to grow through November, and that's what we're going to see.
So I don't know if you've read it, but there was an article in Rolling Stone fairly recently by Matt Taibbi. He was kind of chronicling the process in, I think it was the 19th congressional race, and just the demands of the Democratic National Committee that prospective candidates be able to earn at a certain rate and bring in money for the party itself. How has Citizen Action reacted to that type of climate? And are there any efforts that you guys are making to be involved in that process and perhaps change it?
We've had a demand democracy platform for years, one that calls for fair elections so that we can match small dollar donations to those individuals that are really running a grassroots campaign and they don't have the corporate money that's coming in. And we're going to continue to push for that. And now that we've eliminated the IDC, we've got a real opportunity to see that become a reality in this next legislative session here in New York. And that just means we also have an opportunity to see that other places. Let's get big money out of politics and have candidates run on the issues and run on their record and not just the money that they have in the bank.
And besides race against John Faso that you've already mentioned, are there other like key races that you personally are really focused on?
Citizen Action is definitely looking at the Tenney race that's out, you know, from Utica through the southern tier. And let's face it, every race makes a difference. Every vote is going to make a difference in New York State. There may be what's considered priorities and races to watch. But it's more this grassroots movement building that gets us beyond the election. Because all of those people that voted in the primary, those are now people that are going to come in and volunteer that are paying attention and watching. So after those individuals, whoever they are elected into office, that they hold them accountable later so that when the legislature starts in January and they're looking at what's going to be in the budget, and yet again, we're worried whether or not our schools are going to be fully funded. We then have those people, hundreds of thousands of people, right, that are all across the state saying, it's not okay, and we're going to hold you accountable once you're in office. So it's getting to November, but then also getting beyond November.
So how can listeners learn more about what's at stake and get themselves up to speed, registered, and ready to vote in November?
Yeah, so actually there are a couple things that are happening on Saturday. Our Women of Color Committee is actually having a voter registration during the day. And then also we're going to participate in the National Voter Registration Day on September 25th. Anyone can go to citizenactionny.org, and all of the chapters across New York State are listed on the chapter, and you can find the contact information there, or you can go to Facebook. All of our Citizen Action chapters have their own local chapter pages with contact information where we share information about the candidates that we've endorsed or the actions and activities that we have going on. And locally, anyone can text me at 518-496-0799, and I'll get you that info.
Okay, great. We actually only have about a minute left, but I'd want to go back one step to because you mentioned the race with Tenney, and I was wondering if there are specific issues in that particular race that stick with you.
We're talking about healthcare. We're talking about making sure that there is quality healthcare and it's accessible to everyone, and that we don't go further back giving tax breaks to the wealthy. Removing access to health care for those most in need.
Okay. Well, thank you very, very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dave and Maya.
Thank you. Do you have any last message for people who don't tend to get out and vote? Words of encouragement.
I would say please get out and vote. Please be an informed voter. Get information. Be politically educated. Look for resources. And then join us at the polls and consider running for office.
Well, thank you, Jamaica.
Thank you.
That was Jamaica Miles with Citizen Action.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Debbie Mayer is reporting for the Columbia paper. A group of Germantown residents have filed a legal challenge to the town planning board's decision to approve the construction of a Dollar General store on Route 9G, just north of Main Street. The Article 78 proceeding was filed last month, naming as defendants the planning board, the Dollar General developer, Primex Properties, and Paul and Henrietta D'Souza, owners of the property slated to be subdivided for development. The petitioners, Arthur M. Cady, Elizabeth M. Cawley, Carol Neville, Karen Targove, Angela Alzuski, Douglas Trapp, and William Kimmel, are represented by attorneys Warren S. Raplansky. Acting Rensselaer County Supreme Court Judge Henry Zwank will adjudicate the matter. The petitioners argue their objections to the constructions, and I quote, were generated by the fact that the property on which this Dollar General store was to be sited is presently, for the most part, undeveloped and provides the Germantown community with one of the most prominent, unobstructed view of the Hudson River Corridor and the Catskill Mountains, end quote. They allege that after designating it as a lead agency for the State Environmental Quality Review, the Planning Board failed in its duty by designating the responsibilities for that review to Primex and its consultants. They also accused the board of failing to take a, and I quote, hard look, end quote, at the environmental impacts of the project. Other charges include an alleged failure to comply with the state's open meeting law when the Planning Board failed to provide notice or minutes of a so-called workshop meeting in February. The defendants must file their responding papers by October 12th. Read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Audrey Matan is reporting for the Greenville Pioneer. The Greenville Town Board has moved ahead with securing the necessary funding for four necessary town improvements. The town sidewalk project, the repair and restoration of stained glass windows at the Prevost Hall, replacement of fuel pumps at the Highway Department, and a replacement maintenance building for the Buildings and Grounds Department are among the projects in need of financing. Town Supervisor Paul Mako reported last month, and I quote, "We received a $50,000 grant to do those stained glass windows, but have to pay up front and then get reimbursed. What I'm running up against with the sidewalk project and with the stained glass, these projects, sometimes the time frame to get reimbursed takes months. The same thing with the sidewalk project. We send them in, we get an 80% reimbursement on the bills," end quote. The town board agreed to the financing offered by the Bank of Greene County, which offered the lowest interest rate available. The town board has authorized three bond resolutions for the four projects, totaling approximately $288,000. Read the full story in the Greenville Pioneer. Wendy Labrador and Sarah Klein are reporting for the Times Union. Rensselaer Fire Chief Bill Hummel has ordered his crew of 18 volunteers to stay out of burning buildings. Mayor Daniel Dwyer said a complaint by a disgruntled firefighter to the State Public Employees Safety Health Bureau that volunteers were behind on mandated training led to the chief's decision. Mayor Daniel Dwyer said, and I quote, "The training will be upgraded. We will do it in a couple of weeks," end quote. Michael Stammel, one of the volunteer firefighters and a Rensselaer County legislator, said the restriction placed on volunteers and not on the 12 paid firefighters is the latest in an ongoing battle between the volunteers and members of Paid Firefighters Union. Stammel alleges the paid staff is trying to squeeze out the volunteers, an effort that escalated into a 2016 lawsuit filed by Rensselaer Professional Firefighters Local 2643 against the volunteers. The suit seeks to restore city funds to the paid staff that were intended for equipment and other things the volunteers needed. Stammel said that he and most of the other volunteer firefighters have not received annual training and tests, including hazardous material, workplace violence, training, and fitness tests for years. The Commissioner of Public Works, Dominic Taglinto, said that all the volunteers will receive an 8-hour refresher course in two separate sessions this week and next. The volunteers can then be allowed to go back inside burning buildings. Dwyer said the dispute between fire department factions has been exaggerated. He said, and I quote, "We have fights. It's been handed over to the lawyers," end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union. The Daily Freeman is reporting the National Weather Service in Albany has issued a flash flood watch for much of eastern New York and western New England, stretching from the Saratoga and Glen Falls region to the Mid-Hudson Valley and Taconics. The watch is effective from late September 17th through September 18th. Tropical moisture from the remnants of Hurricane Florence will overspread the region with rain, and that rain will be heavy at times. 1 to 3 inches of rainfall is expected, although locally higher amounts are possible. Flash flooding is possible, especially for urban areas, creeks and small streams, and areas that have already experienced flooding in the recent weeks. Flash flooding is a dangerous situation, according to the National Weather Service, and residents are urged to monitor later forecasts and be prepared to take action should flash flood warnings be issued. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org.
The Alliance for Quality Education has released a report documenting racial inequities in the way the state distributes supplementary school aid. The foundation aid formula, which was enacted into law by the legislature in 2007, is a needs-based funding formula that is supposed to direct more cash to school districts with higher poverty levels, students with disabilities, and English language learners. 62% of the education money owed under current state law is owed to districts that are majority Black and Latino.
The Times Union reports that the Public Service Commission agreed to give Charter Communications one more time. More time to continue negotiations that could keep the embattled cable TV giant in the state. The PSC voted in the end of July to revoke Charter's 2016 acquisition of Time Warner Cable after a long-running dispute over the company's compliance with the requirement to expand its network to areas of the state without high-speed internet access.
According to Bloomberg, this election season will see record numbers of women candidates. For the first time in history, women may have the chance to fill nearly 25% of seats in Congress. This year's ballot featured 255 women candidates for Congress, and based on these numbers, we may see 100 women serving in Congress at the same time, setting a new record. On the state level, there will be 16 total women on the ballot for governor in the 36 states holding elections this November. Currently, there are 6 female governors. With numbers like these, it is possible to break the record of 9 serving at one time. The New York State Board of Regents has agreed to drop a plan that would have placed financial restrictions on schools that are opting out of standardized testing. The Times Union reports that the plan would have allowed the state education commissioner to order schools to use federal Title I money to increase participation. Both parents and teachers were heavily opposed to the plan, especially since lawmakers have been trying to pass legislation that would link student performance on standardized tests with teachers' performance evaluations. In addition to dropping this plan, it will also be harder to place schools with low participation on state watch lists for troubled schools. Schools that do choose to work on increasing their participation rates will only have to update their plans rather than redo them every year. Parents and teachers will continue to lobby to have student test scores completely uncoupled with teacher evaluations.
Coming up on WGXC 90.7 FM for Tuesday, September 18th, we start the day with news and talk, beginning with Ian Masters' background briefing at 6 a.m., followed at 7 a.m. by the morning edition of All Together Now, a unique community-based collaboration between listeners and programmers. In this broadcast, Andrew Baker and Christine Avitabel discuss the upcoming Day of Hope, happening October 6th at Greenport Town Park. At 8 a.m., we bring you Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!, the renowned national independent daily news program live from Pacifica. Stay with us at 9 a.m. as we go to the WGXC satellite studio at the Catskill Library with host Pete Levensey and the WGXC Morning Show. This week, Pete welcomes Hudson Valley historian Sylvia Hassenkopf to talk about the newly installed historic marker commemorating the Caro Fairgrounds. At 2, Mike Porter and Andy Reid talk with Hudson Valley skincare specialist and rock keyboardist Glenn Arpino on Catskill Cabin Conversations. And following the evening edition of All Together Now, please join Lily Konigsberg and Matthew Norman at 7 p.m. as they present the final broadcast of Lillian Hornhorse, live from the WGXC Hudson studio. For the full program schedule, go to wgxc.org.
Tune in to Transmission Art overnight, Wednesday, September 19th in the early morning hours, with the Vital Weekly Show, experimental music from Amsterdam at 1 a.m., and then Tom Smith's REM REO Indigo Chicago show from 2 to 5 a.m. with radio news at 5 a.m. overnight on Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Here's the George Bailey Orchestra with the Poughkeepsie Polka.
Nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
listening to WJFC Agra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.